Welcome, everybody, to Burge's Power Hour. And tonight, today's call is all about the essence of relationships, others, meaning ourselves, with others, and beyond. So if you have, if you're using a cell phone, please mute yourself, or if you're using a landline, you can hit star 6, and that will mute your background noise as well. If you would like to speak or ask questions throughout the call, all you have to do is hit star 6 again, and that will bring you back on. And as you know, those of you who have been listening to me over the years with these power calls, I love to do experiential type stuff. So I feel free to speak up and ask a question, or feel free to certainly play along with us. And tonight's going to be, like I said, jam-packed, or today, wherever you're at. Maybe it's today in Malaysia. So those of you who are listening on the replays, welcome. Get your pens ready. Get your pencils ready. Get something to write with. If you're driving, not a good idea to write with it, okay? So you might want to listen to the replay so that you can play along with us tonight, because tonight is going to be really, really jam-packed, like I said, all about relationships. So those of you who are coming in late, if you go ahead and mute yourself, and at the end of the call, what we'll do is just do another shout-out about, we have people coming in from Canada and New Jersey and Hawaii and Florida and Georgia and South Carolina, and I don't even know who else yet. So I'm really pleased that we're all together so we can have a really boost of power tonight. So without further ado, let me get right to it. So hopefully you've got something to write with, because we are going to be going into that place, that subconscious place that I love to go to, as you know, with all of my Essence of Being classes and all the programs that we do all around the world. So now, here we go. So again, tonight is all about relationships, and there are three types of relationships, okay? You can have a relationship with yourself, you can have a relationship with others, and you can have a relationship with the universe, or whatever you want to call that, universe, God, energy, great spirit, higher self, something other than something that maybe you belong to, or maybe you're not even sure what you want to call it, and that's okay. So there is a connection and a relationship that we have with the planet, with each other, and with ourselves. So, but tonight, what I really wanted to focus on was the relationships with others. We have had other power calls, and of course, my Essence of Relationship classes, we get into relationship with self, and we also get into relationship with the universe and the planet and beyond. But tonight, I'd like to really kind of focus in on our relationships with others. So tonight, what I'm going to talk about and what we're going to go to is that subconscious place, that bubble talk. And those of you who have never heard me before, and if you have heard me before, you know what bubble talk is. It's that subconscious or unconscious block, that those thoughts that keep us from getting what we want. So if you can imagine a bubble above your head like a cartoon character, and that is what you're thinking. That is your unconscious thought. So sometimes you say things consciously, like I want to have the best relationship in the world, and yet your subconscious thoughts might be saying something else. It's that bubble that's above your head about what you're thinking, okay? So when your brain is not aligned, when your conscious thoughts and your subconscious thoughts are not aligned, sometimes you're not able to really create what you want in your life, maybe as fast or as quick or the way that you want it. So we all have these unconscious thoughts. And so what we're going to do tonight is go down to that level as quickly as we can to see what are some of the unconscious thoughts that you have around relationships. So these are things that you don't know what you don't know, or maybe you do know. Maybe you have an inkling of what that might be. But the reason why I love going into these belief systems and going down to the core around our thoughts is because those are the ones, those unconscious or subconscious thoughts, those are the ones that drive us. They are the drivers on the bus. So, for instance, if you're doing affirmations, little lies you tell yourself until they become true, okay? I kid about that, but that seemingly that's what happens for a lot of people. They do affirmations and affirm things for themselves, and maybe it comes true and maybe it doesn't. But the reason why perhaps they don't maybe work as fast as you'd like or as much as you'd like sometimes is because your conscious and your unconscious may not be aligned. It's like putting on the gas and the brake. Those of you who have heard me speak before, you know about this. Your gas is your conscious, saying, I want a fabulous relationship, okay? And your brake is your unconscious, which could be saying something else. Let me give you an idea of what that might look like. If you have your brake on and your gas on at the same time, you could be spinning your wheels. So how many of you have felt that before, where you just spin your wheels and go nowhere? Because many of us will just keep both of those on at the same time. We want something. We want things to be better in our lives, or we want to improve on them in a relationship specifically. But what happens is it doesn't happen, and so sometimes we let go of the gas. We just let go of our desire. We let go of what we want because we settle. We say to ourselves, well, it's just not for us. It just wasn't meant to be. This is as good as it gets. And what we want to do with these power calls, and certainly with all the workshops that I do in the programs, is we want to help you let go of the brake, which is that unconscious bubble talk, those thoughts that keep you stuck or keep you maybe not just limiting yourself a little bit based on what you want. Let me give you an example. So let's say that your conscious thought is that you affirm that you really want a loving relationship, and you go through the motions. You go on a dating service, or you go on the internet. You go out on dates, or maybe you're already in a relationship and you want to improve on the one you have. So let's say you go to counseling, or you come to our Essence of Relationships class, or you get some kind of help to communicate better. Okay, those are conscious acts, conscious thoughts that you have. But you could be at the same time, your unconscious or subconscious could be saying, I'm not good enough, I don't deserve, I'm not worthy, I'm going to get hurt again, I'm going to get betrayed, I'm unwanted, there's something wrong with me. Those types of thoughts are very core, deep beliefs that we have about ourselves that simply are not true. They block our true nature. But we have a lot of evidence in our lives to prove that that might be true. So we start believing it. See, our subconscious mind, we don't know the difference between an actual experience and the one that is imagined. They've actually proven this in quantum physics now, that what you see with your eyes, the synapses in your brain actually fires a certain way, and if you close your eyes and you imagine it, the synapses fire exactly the same way. And what they have found also is that there are 40,000 more thoughts a day that you have on a subconscious level than a conscious level. So I find that fascinating. If that's true, I sure want to find out what's going on in that subconscious of mine, right? So that's what happens. We accumulate all this evidence from our past and our present that you cannot have a certain thing in your life or it's too hard. And whatever your belief system is, it forms, and then you start believing it. And then you start looking at all the evidence to prove it right. So let's look at this scenario to give you an example, and then we're going to go down and see what yours is, okay? Let's say you break up with somebody, you break up with a partner. So then you conjure up an image of what a relationship looks like, and then it ends in heartbreak. So then you feel that emotion around that image. You feel hurt, and you mistrust, or you feel unwanted. And those feelings that you have form a belief or a bubble that you can't trust men or women, or maybe that you're unlovable, or maybe that relationships hurt. So you put up this shield to protect yourself, and you walk around with the shield out in front of you. And it's this wounded kind of haze that you walk around, and you take that with you no matter where you go. So these belief systems are formed, and they're embedded in our consciousness. So oftentimes when we're trying to be intimate with someone or we're trying to be vulnerable, we get scared, and so we have these past experiences blocking us from experiencing another person for who they really are. And we project all of this stuff on them. So I'm going to go into the projections in just a minute. But before we do that, I wanted you to just go ahead, get your pencil out, get your paper out, and I want you to do a stream of consciousness writing. And what that means is that you write down the first things that come up, or just think about, if you can't write it down, think about the first things that come up around these different kinds of relationships. What did you hear, and what did you feel, and what did you think when you were a little boy or a little girl? Because all of this stuff comes from our past. Okay? So we basically carry all of our relationships around with us, and we sort through all of that unconscious belief to find which one's going to match this particular relationship. Okay? So just write these things down. I want you just to write down the first things that come up around these kinds of relationships. So what did you learn in relationships from your school when you were in school? What's the first thing you can think of? When you went to school, what did you learn about relationships? Did you fit in? Were you an outcast? Were you bullied? Were you a loner? Just kind of jot down any thoughts that come up around school. What did I learn when I was at school about what relationships look like? And now, do the same thing. Write down, from religion, what did you learn? From the religion that you were raised with, if you were raised with any type of religion at all in your household, what did you learn about relationships? Were you judged? Were you accepted by any kind of spiritual authority? And then write down what you learned from your culture. How, in your culture that you were raised with, how do men treat women? And how do women treat men? And then these next two are really important to just finish the sentence, okay? Just finish the sentence. In a relationship, women are supposed to what are women supposed to be in a relationship? How they show up? Write the first things that come up in your brain. And then write down, in a relationship, men are supposed to what are men supposed to do in a relationship? How they show up? Okay. So finish that up. And then the really important one is, what did you learn from your family about relationships? What did you learn from your mom and dad or your caregivers that you raised with? What did you experience? Were they divorced, unhappily married? Were they single parent? Did you have abuse, neglect, mistrust, unhealthy communication? What did you notice? What did you learn from your family that you grew up with about relationships? So you should have some things written down about things that you noticed, patterns that may have come up for you. Look through all of your answers now and see if you can see a pattern anywhere about what you learned about how relationships look, how they feel. What belief systems you feel you might have from that? Because belief systems are handed down, just like our genes do in our physical selves, so do our emotional and our psychological and our spiritual, and our thoughts are handed down too. And we take on the beliefs that we were taught. So you can look at this and say, wow, this is how I really show up with certain aspects of people in my life. Maybe you see a pattern, maybe you don't. But we tend to repeat our patterns with our behaviors. Have you ever been with a person in your life where it's the same song, second verse? In other words, same person but a different face. It's like, here we go again. Why is this happening to me again? Why do men that I love leave me? It can't be me. I've had 20 bad relationships in a row and the same things keeps happening. Or why do I always leave? Or why can't I hold on to it? Or why am I always getting betrayed? So it's really good to look at, are there any common denominators? And of course, the common denominator of all of this is you. Wherever you go, there you are. And what happens is people tend to run away from their problems and think if they change this person in their life, that their life will change. And maybe it does for a little while. But what happens is if you don't shift the belief within you that attracted it in the first place, you're going to keep recreating the same thing. Why? For the purpose of healing it. See, because part of the solution of all of this is healing and completing the past, your past relationships. These patterns keep coming up to heal if we let them. Because what happens is, in the presence of great love, when there's a lot of love present, everything unlike love will come up for the purpose of healing it. if you choose to. So I always say, hey, if you want to heal something in your life that you have some kind of wound around or something that's really hurtful and painful for you, have a relationship or have a child, because they will push your buttons faster than anybody in the world. And they're pushing your buttons, maybe not on purpose, but they trigger things within you so that you can heal them. Because I believe it's difficult to heal what you can't feel. It's difficult to see things in yourself unless you have someone showing it to you. And that's where our projection comes in. For instance, when we are projecting onto somebody else, in other words, let's say that we feel like we judge ourselves or we judge other people and we have certain expectations about a relationship, we can project that onto that person. We project, oh, this is how they're going to act, this is what I expect, this is what's going to happen. So all these past experiences, you basically project that onto that person. That's why a lot of times when we get into a relationship with a new person, it's really the same person, but it's a different face, because it comes from our past. When there's a lot of love present, remember, it brings up everything unlike love for the purpose of healing it. So it's sort of like, but what we end up doing is we start blaming other people, we start shaming ourselves, we start making up excuses. And those of you who have taken Essence of Being and all the other programs, you know this chart. This is one of our most powerful things to learn, is that any time that you blame somebody else or you shame yourself or you make up excuses, you're basically giving your power away to that other person or that other thing. You're giving your power away. You're saying you are a big victim, that you can't do anything about it. You want to bitch, moan, and whine about it, but nothing really changes. We call that below-the-line behavior. It wastes time in a relationship below the line. It wastes time because nothing really changes. You either shame yourself or you blame others, and either way, you don't have the power to make a change. So the only position to make a change in is to take responsibility for your thoughts, your beliefs, and your actions. When you say to yourself, you know what, I take responsibility for me thinking that. I take responsibility for my belief. I take responsibility for my actions. We're not saying that you are taking responsibility for anybody else's actions. What you are saying is that you're taking responsibility for what you are believing about yourself and your thoughts and your actions, because you can do something about that. You have power to make a change if you come from that point of view. And for all of you codependents out there, that is not saying that you're taking responsibility for everybody else's issues, okay? We co-create together. We co-create it. So a lot of times what happens is we get really tired with the relationship sometimes because we're dragging around all this stuff. We're dragging around all the baggage, all the garbage. And people just aren't doing what we want them to do, right? Or they don't treat us the way we want to be treated. And so we start pulling all of our focus to the past. So we say to ourselves, see, all this is happening again. Or see, this just isn't working out. It goes into the past and it drags us down. So we keep reliving past experiences, past judgments, past expectations. And so we're not fully present with ourselves or with that relationship. So let me show you how we project. I want you to get your pen and paper out again. So what I want you to do now is I want you to write down two people in your mind. Just write down the names of two people that you really, really love and respect. Just write their names down. And then write down next to their names, what do you appreciate about them? What do you love and respect about them? And then write down two people that you really are upset with, that you're either angry with or you have an out with or that you feel ashamed about or you're pissed off. Just write down two people that really just bug you right now. And then write down next to their names, what are you pissed off about, or what are you upset about, or what are you ashamed about, or what are you angry about? What did they do? And then just know that these people that you wrote down and the emotions that you feel around them, that they are mirrors for you. They're mirrors. We project. So sometimes we just don't want to see things about ourselves and other people. So if you look at the things that you love and respected and appreciated about the first two, they are also mirrors for you. It's what you love and appreciate about yourself. And likewise, look at the reasons why you're pissed off or upset or whatever about the other two. They also are mirrors for you. About something maybe that you don't like about yourself. It triggers you. It triggers something within you that you don't want to look at. So if you look at people, that's what projection is, okay? We project feelings about ourselves onto other people. Could you feel the emotion come up inside of you? Did you have an emotional response? And then ask yourself, how does that show up in my life? How does that show up in my life when I don't even know how I feel about a relationship because it's all about that other person? We think it's that other person, but it's really not sometimes. These are triggers that we have within ourselves about our past experiences. So this is the cycle of your ego. And those of you who took my little mini class, my Essence of Relationships mini class, this is going to be review for you, so this is good. So what you want to do is I want you to draw a triangle, an upside-down triangle. Draw an upside-down triangle, and we're going to show you the cycle of your ego, of what a kind of relationship is when you're in ego. So on the left corner of the upside-down triangle, you want to put rescuer. On the right side, you put self-protector. And at the bottom, the upside-down triangle, you write victim. So these are the three parts of being in an egocentric type of relationship. So you can kind of identify where do you show up and where do your relationship show up a lot, okay? And you change around, you go around this triangle you play these roles out for each other and project onto each other. So let me explain these. So the victim person, when you're in a relationship, when you're an ego, of course, is the one of the intense self-hatred or full of guilt or shame or self-criticism. It's the victim roles where we feel stuck, that we can't take any action to help ourselves, that we're helpless and dependent, and we really don't like ourselves because we're so dependent, and we just don't see a way out. We're at the center of the universe, and we can't change it. So that is obviously a role that some people play, where they are blaming and shaming and making excuses, and they're always the victim. It's like they're always being the one that's hurt. Okay? So just identify and see if that's where you show up a lot. And then now go to the rescuer on the left-hand side of the triangle. The rescuer is the person who feels that they basically want to be in control. So this is how it kind of works. Rescuers need to feel powerful and in control. So what they do is they take care of other people in a relationship in order to feel that they have a sense of power and control, because underneath they feel really powerless and small and ashamed sometimes. So they become the good guy. They want to be, I'll come rescue and save you. I'll protect you. I'll protect you from all of your bad stuff. It makes me feel good about myself. So sometimes when we rescue people, we're actually feeling defensive and ashamed of ourselves and angry at ourselves. And what the rescuer will do is they basically are not allowing that other person an experience. In other words, we'll go in and try to rescue someone, and what we're saying to them is, you're powerless and I need to rescue you. So we're not honoring and respecting, which is the other side of it, which I haven't told you about yet, but when you rescue somebody, you're basically trying to make yourself feel better, like you're the good guy. And then the self-protector on the right-hand side, the self-protector has to avoid being a victim, okay? And you do it in two ways. The first way is you attack or you intimidate or you belittle. Sort of like a blowfish. You kind of like puff up and say, I'll show you. And you fight. You self-protect. Okay, so you are either fighting your way through it and saying, I'm going to attack you before you attack me. Or the other instinctive way that we self-protect is we withdraw and we isolate like a little frightened turtle. You pull back into this little protective shell. We physically or emotionally shut others out of the world to keep others from getting too close to us. That's also a self-protector. So just kind of notice, where do you show up and where does your relationships, you know, whoever you're in relationship with now or have been, and do you, sometimes you're the self-protector, sometimes you're the rescuer, sometimes you're the victim, sometimes you show up the same way every time. And the middle of all of it is pain. So it doesn't feel good to be in that egocentrism cycle. And so this whole model is a friend of mine, Melody Brooks. It's her model that she's put together. And it makes a lot of sense, is that we keep going round and round, rescuing or self-protecting or being a victim. And it's a very painful type of way of having a relationship. But it's all about staying in the ego. So what do we do about it? Well, we want to shift out of that, okay? So we want to shift it into a whole different model of how to have a relationship with other people. And it doesn't have to be just a love relationship. It can be any kind of relationship with our parents or with our friends or with our coworkers or with our children. So you basically show up one of those ways: rescue, self-protect, or be a victim. And again, the middle of all of that is just pain. So what we're going to do now is I want to shift it into a whole other way of being, a whole other way of thinking around relationships. So I want you to take a little bit of, go ahead and take another, draw another triangle and make it upside down triangle again. And at the place of the bottom part of the triangle, instead of the victim, I want you to replace it now with ownership, that you're taking ownership, a.k.a. responsibility. So instead of blaming and shaming and making excuses, you are taking ownership for your own feelings. So in order for you to get in touch with what are your feelings in a relationship, I want to give you two sides of the coin here. So just jot these things down, one or the other, okay? How you want to take ownership in a relationship. So in a relationship, I take too little responsibility or too much responsibility. Pick one or the other. In a relationship, do you blame it on someone else or do you bring it on yourself? And I know it depends a lot of times, but just kind of go with your gut reaction on this, how you show up most of the time. In a relationship, do you reflect a lot or do you have apathy? In a relationship, do you never ask for help or do you always ask for help? And by the way, you can go somewhere in between if you want to make that a choice. In a relationship, are you preoccupied with your physical aspect of yourself or do you ignore your physical aspect of yourself? In a relationship, are you preoccupied with your mental aspect of yourself, or do you ignore your mental aspect of yourself? In a relationship, are you preoccupied with spiritual aspects of yourself, or do you ignore the spiritual aspects of yourself? And in a relationship, are you preoccupied with your emotional aspects of yourself or do you ignore emotional aspects of yourself? In a relationship, are you preoccupied with social aspects of yourself or do you ignore social aspects of yourself? And in a relationship, are you preoccupied with financial aspects of yourself or do you ignore the financial aspects? And the last one is, in a relationship, are you preoccupied with sexual aspects of yourself or do you ignore sexual aspects of yourself? So this little exercise is good for you to kind of get some clarity around your own, you're owning your own feelings. You're owning who you show up as in a relationship. You're not projecting onto anybody else. You're owning it and saying, this is who I am. And the really cool part about this is when you go back and listen to the replay, you can also have, if you're with a partner, you can have your partner do the same thing and see where they show up and see if you guys match. Are they on the same page with you? Or are you totally opposite? So that's the ownership part of it. So you own your own behavior, how you show up, you have integrity, and you are trusting who you are. You're not allowing anybody else to sway you in any particular way. Now, on the left-hand side of that triangle, that new triangle, instead of it saying rescuer on the left-hand side, now you're going to put the word respect. Respect is basically recognizing a person's autonomy and authority in their own lives. So, because when we take care of other adults, when we caretake them, we're not respecting their ability to care for themselves. We think we're helping them by invading their boundaries. It's basically when you rescue, you're saying to them, you're helpless, and I'm invading your boundary. When we do something for someone that they could do for themselves, we're not respecting their abilities. We're not respecting their boundaries, or we're not respecting ourselves, our own boundaries. So if you respect yourself enough and respect that other person enough to realize that they have their own, they can own themselves, they can take care of themselves as far as you don't have to come to the rescue, try to make yourself feel better. And what it does is it allows them to really respect themselves more. It allows you to respect yourself and have boundaries, which is a really healthy way to have a relationship. And people that were raised in either alcoholic families or those types of families where there weren't a lot of boundaries, there, you know, we get confused about what are the boundaries? I don't even know what they are. And on the right-hand side now, instead of it saying self-protector, you want to put empathy. Empathy is huge in a relationship, to be able to communicate and understand the other person's experience. Where are you going to respond instead of react? Empathy is the ability to own and express compassion for others and for ourselves. So this whole cycle that we're showing you now is compassion. Instead of ego, it's the cycle of compassion. So with empathy, we don't automatically become defensive and angry. When someone accuses us, or when we perceive that we're being accused or attacked, instead we listen to the other person's distress. And through this compassion, we're able to put ourselves in the other person's shoes. We can relax our defensive reactivity. So we begin to feel what the other person's feeling too. And it's a risk. We risk letting down our emotional wall to just feel what that other person may be feeling and not bring it onto ourselves and say it's our fault, that there's something wrong with us. We just accept that that's what that person feels. It's not about something's wrong with us. So when people project anger onto us or project something onto us that's not ours, you don't take it. You can be empathetic toward that person, but you don't take it on as it's yours. And in the middle of this triangle is joy. You replace the pain with joy. So I'll give you an example of the three egocentric types of reactions that you can have. When you're a victim, let's say that you've got your husband. He anxiously tells you that the way that you're putting your hand in the disposal to clear it is dangerous. So you perceive it as evidence of how inadequate you are, and you begin to tear up. You just start crying, and you ask your husband to do it for you. Now, that's a victim mentality. a self-protector mentality would be your husband tells you that the way you're putting your hand in the disposal to clear it is dangerous. And you could perceive that as an attack, and you shout back at him, hey, I can take care of this. I'm not stupid. That's self-protecting. Or a rescuer example would be your husband tells you that the way you're putting your hand in the disposal to clear it is dangerous. And you perceive that as an attack, and you say, oh, yes, you're right. You're always so much smarter. And you swallow your resentment. So in other words, you rescue that person by not speaking up. And you resent it at the same time. So that hopefully gives you a couple of examples, or gives you an example of how that works when you're in egocentrism. And when you're in compassion, here are some tools you can use. I'm going to give you some tools that you can use so that you can stay with empathy and respect and owning your own feelings and your own thoughts and beliefs, and not project them onto someone else. You use I statements. So, I feel this way. Not, you make me feel. Okay, you just use I statements. You can say, for me, the truth is. Because if you argue a lot with people, and again, this doesn't have to be just a love relationship, a sexual relationship. It could be your friends, your families, or coworkers. You can do the same thing. You move into the cycle of compassion, and you say, hey, for me, the truth is. And what that means is they can't argue that. They cannot argue that that's your truth, okay? They might not agree with it, but they can't argue that that's not your truth. Ask open-ended questions. In other words, you could say, these are examples of empathy that you can say, I know you, I can only imagine how you feel. It sounds to me like you're really upset right now. I understand. I feel like you may have had a hard day today. That is being empathetic. If they come in ranting and raving about something, instead of reacting to that and saying, you know, protecting yourself or rescuing or being a victim, you just respect that that's what they're feeling, respect your own boundaries, own that it's not you, and have empathy that obviously there's something really hurting them. And you can diffuse it very quickly with a pattern interrupt. And a pattern interrupt is a really powerful tool to use when you find yourself escalating with another person emotionally. You escalate into maybe you start out kind of bickering about something, and then it gets more intense, right? So you can feel it when it's becoming more intense. So it's really great to do a pattern interrupt if you're already in a relationship, whether it be a loved one or maybe at work. You can actually do a pattern interrupt. And what that looks like is you come up with a word or a phrase that makes you laugh. And you do it together. You say, okay, we're going to play this game. Whenever we start to get into it again and it still feels like we're going to start arguing, or we're going to get into some kind of a or does it feel good kind of a communication, and it escalates into a shouting match, before it gets there, let's come up with a name, a funny thing called, it could be anything, just anything that makes you laugh. And before you get it to the place where you want to just, you know, kill that other person, let's say, if you're really upset, you call out that word or that phrase, and that stops all communication. So whoever calls it out, okay, both of you walk away. You stop talking. You cannot speak after that. You go to your corners and you breathe 10 times. Deep breaths, 10 times. Then you come back together, and the person who called it, the person who shouted out that pattern interrupt phrase or word, gets to speak first. And you say, what I feel like saying is, and you have a calm communication. The other person doesn't speak at all. They just listen. Because what has happened when you do those 10 deep breaths, that will dissipate all those feelings. It will dissipate it to a level that you can actually have a conversation. So that person who calls it speaks first. They say, what I feel like saying is, the other person listens. And then when you're finished, you say, that's what I'm complete for now. What do you feel like saying? And then the other person speaks, and you just listen, or whoever the person started just listens. So you take turns. That way you can actually be heard. That way you can actually have some empathy. That way it doesn't become a shouting match. So these are tools that you could use for any situation, any kind of relationship, to put you into that compassion cycle. And you know, when you're in a reactive cycle, when you go into shame or blame, or you try to please the other person, or you shut down your communication, or you get defensiveness, or you start shaking, or you have rapid breathing, or you raise your voice, or you get really, really tearful. Those are reactionary. So hopefully, those types of experiences you can shift into a compassionate cycle. So does anybody want to share anything that came up for them during this part of any ahas that they had or questions about any of this?
Hey, Virge, it's Kristen.
Hey, Kristen.
So I recently left my husband after being together with him for 15 years. And, yeah, a lot of patterns showed up in my relationships from my past. Lying to not upset people showed up in pretty much every category.
You said which part showed up in every category?
Lying.
Lying, okay.
Yep.
That they're lying to you?
Them lying to me, and then me lying to them to not upset them.
To not upset them, gotcha, okay. So not telling your truth.
Exactly.
Okay, gotcha.
And that's definitely something that I have recently trying to been embracing.
Okay. And that's a pattern. So can you see how that's a pattern that you've developed from all different kinds of sources? It's a belief that you have about yourself. So the part is, you're definitely rescuing when you do that. Do you see that?
Yeah, I definitely recognize that, yeah.
Yeah, that you're rescuing by not telling your truth because you don't want to hurt their feelings. And so what's the opposite of that?
Speaking my mind and being honest. I guess, and honoring them with that. Knowing that they can handle the truth.
Exactly. Honoring yourself instead of rescuing, you respect. You respect yourself. You honor yourself. You're not projecting, but you're taking ownership of how you feel. And you're also respecting that other person, respecting their boundaries too.
Yeah.
And I think the deep-seated belief behind that, if I was going to feel into that, is you want to be liked and you want to be loved and you want to feel lovable. And oftentimes when people are afraid to speak their truth because they don't want to hurt people's feelings, because they really, really deep down, they want to be liked and they want to be loved, and they'll do anything in order to feel that.
Yeah, I can recognize that. That comes from my childhood. I definitely had a very verbally abusive father. So I know it, especially with guys.
Right.
Yeah.
That is and see, here's the cool thing about all of that, honey, is that when you identify the pattern like that, then you can choose to shift it. You can choose to shift your experience of what that looks like. You can say, you know what, I honor myself. I know that that was a way that I dealt with survival in a household or in an experience, all these experiences that I've had with men, okay, these patterns that I have. I don't have to put up these walls and try to protect and try to rescue and try to figure it all out so I can be loved, because guess what? I'm already lovable, and I don't have to have anybody prove it to me. So once you get how lovable and wanted you really are, then all of those things seem to just, they don't come up anymore, because you are not attracting that same type of experience and that vibration. You're not looking at it that way anymore. You're not feeling it that way anymore. Does that make sense?
It totally does, and I definitely have been shifting and really kind of exposing myself and being vulnerable and showing the world my belly, maybe oversharing on Facebook. But by doing that, I definitely have found a good tribe of friends for support, and yeah, really have shifted, I think. And
excellent.
Recognize
excellent.
My cuteness.
Well, it will. Yeah, showing your underbelly. You know, it's one of the things we say in our workshops is my strength lies in my vulnerability. So the more vulnerable I am, the stronger I am. For me to say I am powerful beyond measure, and I have the right to speak, and I have the right to tell my truth. And so I really invite you and encourage you. Have you done Essence of Being?
No, not yet. Susan, okay. Susan keeps wanting me to, and
okay.
I will be there.
Okay.
I told Matt recently.
So thank you for sharing all that, honey. I really appreciate that, and I know that people can identify and resonate with that as well. That's why when you share things like that, you really help heal other people and get other people to see things too. So one of the things I just want to remind everybody is that we are doing the Essence of Being in Atlanta this weekend. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, May 20th through the 22nd. We're doing an Essence of Being in Atlanta, Georgia. And the next one we're doing in the U.S. is July 29th through the 31st, and that's going to be in Fort Lauderdale. So that is the next two events coming up as far as our basic class that we do, which is the Essence of Being. It's the first class that everybody can do, and then we have other programs once you do that class. The next time I'm doing the Power Hour is June 15th, and the topic for that one will be the essence of success.
Mm-hmm.
The essence of success. Am I that powerful? And so I hope that you can join us certainly for that next Power Hour. Be looking for an email from you guys who registered. When you register, you get some little freebies and some cool things I'm going to be emailing to you. So if you've registered online for this Power Hour, yay. If you haven't, you can go back on Facebook or go back on the emails we send out or the text, however you got here. Go back and register to make sure we make sure you get these emails that are coming out about some freebies I'm going to be offering you, okay? Some little one-on-ones that you can do with me specifically. So I just thank you for being with us tonight. I hope that all of you around the world got something out of it tonight, that you feel more empowered, that you feel more connected to your own relationship with yourself and with others and with the universe and beyond. And I look forward to playing with you either in Atlanta or Florida or Canada or wherever we are. And come play with us with Essence of Being. And let's just do another shout-out for everybody to say until we meet again.
Thank you.
Oh, I just want to say this was great. This is Candace. And anybody who hasn't taken Essence of Being, I took it a few weeks ago, and unfortunately I won't be here when she does the next one. But, oh, my gosh, it is life-changing. And I've been in seminars for 30 years. This is the best. So don't miss it. Just imagine you're going to make it happen. The universe's job to figure out how, and just sign up for it. I'm telling you, sign up. Fabulous.
Oh, thank you, Candace.
It is. It is. It's fabulous.
Thank you.
So, Jake, just had to put that plug in. And this is amazing. I've done this kind of work on relationships for years, and yet new ahas came up for me tonight. So I appreciate everything you taught us. It was great.
You're welcome.
Really great.
You're welcome.
Thank
My
you.
Pleasure. My pleasure. And again, look for those emails because we can do a little one-on-one. I'm offering a little 30-minute one-on-one free sessions with everybody that were on this call. So you can just sign up for those too. Okay?
Wonderful. Great.
Yeah.
Thank you. Have fun in Atlanta. Okay.
Thank you. And good night, everybody.
Night.
Or good morning. Good night.